Hello and welcome to another episode of Tungsudo Focus, a podcast concerning all things related to the Korean martial art of Tungsudo. I am your host, Master Steve Paterini, and today's topic, episode number 16, is called Five More Ways to Improve Your Tungsudo Training. I believe episode 9, I had planned on doing a top 10 list and found out that I was going into such detail, no way I could fit 10 topics in a half-hour format podcast. So here I am, part 2, I guess it would be 6 through 10, but simply five more ways that you might be able to improve your training that you may not have thought of, or maybe you have done in the past and have stopped for some reason. So let's take a few minutes and go through these topics, because any little edge that we have to make our lives easier, improve our training, and improve our performance is going to be beneficial. So a quick review, in case you didn't listen to episode 9 and you're listening out of order, or maybe you've forgotten already, that's fine. The first five things I pointed out were, number one, quite obviously, take more classes. If you increase the number of classes you take with professional training, that's going to improve your Tungsudo. Training with more intensity, increasing the effort you put into each class that you're training with, challenging a friend or having a friend in sort of a friendly, amiable competition can help you both raise your level of performance. Practicing outside of class time, in other words, the before, the after, the basement, the garage, those are places and times where you can get your own training above and beyond. I talked about how training happens on the floor with your instructor. Practice is something that happens outside of class. And so practicing on your own can improve your Tungsudo incredibly. And then the last point I talked about was using the internet. Again, understanding it's not a perfect source. TMI, too much information. You might see forms that are done differently by different associations or different practitioners. But I also think there's plenty of good information out there. It's not a bad thing if you're a fan of Tungsudo and it's something you're interested in. You should take a look at some videos out there on YouTube, or if your particular school or association provides videos as well, that would be a great thing for you to look at, particularly as you're coming up on more competition or advancement testing sessions. So what would have been number 6 if I had gotten all 10 of my 10 ways to increase or improve your Tungsudo? I guess it's number 1 for this second edition of this topic. Go to more tournaments. I myself am not particularly invested in the competition aspect of Tungsudo. Never was. I'm just not that kind of a person. The sport aspect of it, I might be a competitive person by my nature, but not as much as other folks. Some people get really into the tournament scene. And even if you're not one of those people, boy, tournaments do benefit you in a lot of ways. It gives you a goal, a definitive timeline for which to prepare. It puts you in a stressful situation to test your skills in front of strange judges, in front of an audience, competing against people you're not familiar with outside of your dojang. So there's about a dozen reasons, probably right off the top of my head, I could come up with for the benefits of going to any tournament. I find in our school, we sponsor two tournaments a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And it always seemed pretty important part of your ability to advance for you to participate in at least those two tournaments that we co-host, and if not, maybe do a makeup tournament. You know, you had an obligation that particular day. Oh, geez, I can't make it, Master Volker. I have a conflict on that day. All right, well, there's another tournament in Litchfield next weekend, or somewhere down in Waterbury, something like, all right, well, we'll see you at that tournament then. The idea of competing regularly, getting out there in front of people, showing your stuff, guess what? It's uncomfortable, and it will put you in that stressful situation, and that is very beneficial when it comes time for testing, when it comes time for the challenges that you have in your personal life or professional life, when you have to give a presentation, you have to talk in front of a group of people, when you have an interview of some sort. Boy, having been in a pressure situation, maybe sparring against an opponent that you've never seen before who you think is pretty good, or being in front of a panel of judges that you've never seen before and their scowling faces as you get up and perform your weapons or your form techniques, that's all really good stuff. Therefore, wouldn't it be beneficial to do more tournaments? There was a period of time where I remember being somewhere around red belt, Chodunbo, and one of my more senior black belts stopped me at the end of the tournament. He said, "Hey, how'd you do? How was your day?" And I said, "You know, Master Dom, I did not do very well. I was disappointed, and I thought I performed well, but it wasn't good enough for the judges, and I didn't take home any medals, any hardware." And he said, "Just keep going." And I thought for a minute he was talking about my training, which I suppose in effect he was, but he said, "Keep going to tournaments. The more you go, the better you'll get. And one day it's just going to be your day. You're just going to be on, and the other people will not be as much." And, you know, I think to the Olympic athletes who only get to train once every 4 years or compete once every 4 years, and they put all those hours and years of effort into training, and if they just happen to have a bad day on the day of their performance at the Olympics, they go home and they don't medal. And if they just, for whatever reasons, maybe their competitors get injured or have a bad day, and they have the greatest day of their life, and they go home with the gold. So just the frequency of tournaments that you attend, kicking that up by just one or two a year. And if you want to get into the whole cycle of becoming a real big attendee of tournaments, there's certainly opportunities out there for you if you check with your instructor. And those are absolutely great ways to improve your training and your Tung Soo Do. So the second of my set of five ways to increase your or improve your Tung Soo Do, offer to help out at your school. Often we have opportunities that you can help as a training assistant, even as a younger person, helping out, leading as a, we refer to them as SWAT members. I honestly have forgotten all these years what it stands for, but I think I've seen in many schools where bringing some kind of a older student in to work with the young kids, the tiny tigers, the little dragons, the karate kids, whatever you refer to them as, even as young as probably, you know, 10, 12 years old, you could become a leader, a mentor to those students. Asking your instructor, "Sir or ma'am, might I be allowed to run the warm-ups for our class upcoming?" Usually that goes to the most senior student on the floor, but I think just taking the initiative and asking your instructor for opportunities, how can I help out at the school? It might just be working in the office, organizing paperwork, if you volunteer to take the trash out. These things get noticed, and you know, you might say, "Oh, you know, you're kind of sucking up to the instructor and sort of being, you know, again, I don't know, just sort of being a weenie kind of teacher's pet, if you will." No, you're not. You're showing initiative. You are showing that you're serious about your training. You're offering to help, which when you offer to help people, particularly your instructors, sometimes you might find out that they actually offer you more opportunities in training or show you extra forms or bonus lessons that you might not get otherwise. But I would say that just offering to help around the school and showing up and taking more of a leadership role, that would be something that would get you on the floor more and also allow you to develop those leadership skills. And that will be a good thing for your Tung Soo Do journey as well. The third or next tip for you to improve your training. There's an old saying that the camera never lies. And we all have a pretty good level of video recording technology, usually sitting in our front pocket or our back pocket in the in the form of our cell phone. You might have a dedicated video camera, a GoPro, something like that. I'm old school. I've been making videos since the time of VHS tape, so I refer to it as videotaping. But have somebody shoot some video of yourself. I suppose you could set it up on a tripod or some kind of a selfie. I don't know if you'd use a selfie stick like you would on a GoPro, but you could set up the camera in some way, shape, or form, with or without assistance, in that you could film yourself doing your forms. Doing your techniques, and then you watch it back and prepare to cringe, because again, the camera does not lie. And actually, I was helping out working on the Pyeonghwa Kunin website, making a set of videos for our students, for the student resources section, with Master Volker, and I watched one of the videos and I executed the form correctly. But I was very disappointed with the way some of my frames and my stances looked. And as a more senior student, I have a level of pride. And I said, no, we have to shoot this again. I will not put that out in public with that bad of a front stance or that bad of a frame for my low block on that particular form. And we redid it. And again, it was just a case of the camera shows everything. And I think that as much as your teachers and your instructors and maybe even your peers can give you critiquing and watch you do your form and say, oh, you know, lock out the back leg or watch your posture and this thing. Once you see it on camera, there's no denying it. And once again, it's almost cringeworthy. But what a great training tool that we live in this day of technology where you do have that level of videotaping available to you. So take advantage of it, shoot some video, watch it, and use your self-reflection, examining your own particular shortfalls, and make yourself better because of that. So shoot some video, take a look at it, and try to use that as a way of improving your practice. So a fourth way of improving your training, which is pretty simple, is to ask a senior student to you for help. Kind of stands to reason your instructors are primarily or should almost always be your seniors. Unless you've advanced in rank pretty high up there, there should almost always be seniors or peers on the floor that you can ask for help, you can ask for guidance. So if you're working your way towards black belt and you're, say, a green or a red belt, there's probably a Don member around somewhere. Rather than asking every question of your instructor before class, at the end of class, maybe even during class, if they are the ones who are helping assist with the instruction, asking a Don member, somebody that's more advanced than you, for some advice on whatever. Particular techniques, form, sequence, breaking weapons, you name it. But there's all these people. And by the way, as a more senior student, when a junior comes to you and asks you for advice, it's very validating. And it's kind of the first time it happens is sort of a proud moment. Like, wow, they actually think highly enough of me that I might have something of benefit to share with them. That's kind of a neat feeling. But again, it shows leadership for those people. It shows humility on your part. And it also shows a level of ambition and initiative where you would be, you know, making yourself known to these black belts and saying, hey, you know, as a red belt, I'm very serious about my training and I want to be where you are. I want to have that black belt excellence. And can you help me get there? And I am sure that those senior students will be happy to help you. And they're right there. They're probably right on the floor next to you, asking them anything from a very simple, quick question to, hey, would you mind just taking a look at me doing this form? Oh, you know, we have a tournament coming up in a couple of weeks, and this is what I'm going to do with my staff form. Anything you would give me advice to try to work on with that time we have left before the competition? And that is a great way to improve your training, leaning on the expertise and the experience of your seniors. So that was the fourth in this particular segment of how to improve your training. The fifth or last, and this would have been number 10, I guess, if I had fit all 10 ideas into a single episode. Number 10, cross train or exercise outside of Tung Sido. Now, again, Master Volker likes to talk about how it's always Tung Sido season. In other words, we are a year-round endeavor or practice, whereas usually, and I know there's people that play baseball year-round and soccer year-round, et cetera, but I think it's safe to say that, you know, soccer is a fall sport, football is a fall sport, you know, spring is more of a baseball, lacrosse, track type of season. Don't neglect your Tung Sido training, certainly, but if you run cross country in the fall, geez, do you think your endurance might be better when it comes to sparring at that fall tournament? Obviously, that would be helping your cardio. If you wrestle in the winter, or if you play football in the fall, and the weightlifting and the contact of those sports, gonna make you a more aggressive fighter and improve your endurance and all those other things, your conditioning when you're on the floor. Even as a more mature student, say you're no longer participating in youthful sports. Listen, if you're an adult, go for a run, go for a bike ride, swim. Yoga is a great complement to your martial arts training because of the focus on breathing and balance and stretching and all those other beneficial things that segue right into our level of training. You could certainly cross train in other martial arts, I suppose. Going to a boxing gym and hitting heavy bags and doing pad work and that kind of cardio work. It might muddy the waters a little bit if you were to cross train in an entirely different style of martial art. I know certainly people do and have in the past, and understanding something like jiu-jitsu or judo would be a good complement to your self-defense and Hosin Sul practices from Tung Sido. Again, just at the risk of not neglecting your Tung Sido training. But I guess my point is that if the only physical activity you have is on the dojang floor, perhaps you could improve your performance. Go for a run, go for a bike ride, a swim, do some sort of other organized exercise, hit the gym, lift some weights without losing your flexibility, of course. That could be very beneficial. And, you know, we talked about things in past episodes about, you know, having lower stances and how it's uncomfortable for your legs. Well, listen, if you're going to the gym three times a week and, you know, doing leg presses and, all sorts of different weight lifting exercises, that's going to make your strength a lot easier, which is going to improve your performance, maybe give you lower stances, et cetera, and allow you to improve your Tung Sido, which is, I guess, what the whole focus of this episode is about. So in a rather quick amount of time, I was able to cover 5 additional ways for you to improve your training in Tung Sido. And again, nothing too difficult here. I don't think that looking at something like going to more tournaments, looking at something like offering to help out around the school, videotaping yourself, asking your seniors for advice, or having them be your mentors, and doing some sort of exercise or physical activity outside of class. These are not really lofty concepts that are difficult to understand. And I think adding any of these to your training is going to help improve your overall performance. Now, I offered 5 other solutions or ways of improving your training in a previous episode. You don't have to do all 10 of these at once. You could rotate your time. You could say, okay, the next month I'm going to spend a lot of time videotaping myself. I've got a training partner who's going to, by the way, I think training partner was one of those ones from the first episode. So I'll have my training partner videotape me, and I'll videotape them, and we'll giggle and cringe and laugh at how bad we look, and then try to improve our performance that way. Oh, guess what? It's cross-country season. I know I'm going to be running a lot, so I'll get my cardio in, and that should improve my endurance during sparring sessions. I don't think anybody is expecting you to do all 10 of these at once, but going through this list every now and again and going, geez, you know, it would be great if I was able to check with some of my seniors and get some advice, or I no longer have that other obligation time-wise, so I could offer to help out more along at the Dojung and maybe get into more of a leadership role. These are all opportunities for you to just make your training a little bit more fulfilling and allow you to progress maybe even a little bit faster and become more advanced, which I guess constant and never-ending improvement is one of our goals in Tung Soo Do. So, again, we come to the end of another episode. I thank you for your kind attention. I would ask you to please share this, like this, tell your friends about this podcast. And if you don't like this episode, check back for future ones. As I have said in the past, one of my goals is to increase the number of interviews with high-ranking practitioners of Tung Soo Do, as well as talk about technique and philosophy and other things. And I think that's going to add an even greater level of enrichment and fulfillment to this podcast. So again, thank you for your kind attention. Train hard and Tung Soo.